drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Hope y'all are having a great start to your day. James here, joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being with us, everybody. Thought that'd be a fun way to kick off the second hour as we're about to dive into entertainment and talk about the great Roberta Flack. We'll be doing that in a moment. Melissa and I will also be diving into how many photos does the average person have on their phone? And what are people doing instead of watching TV? We got all that coming up for you. Got our local, our schedule and some local good stories of the day all coming up. But I did think it would be a good place to start as we literally got off the air yesterday and the news broke about Roberta Flack passing. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in a moment. First, let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Can I give you an audible for just a second?
Okay.
it's entertainment. Okay. But last night when I was scrolling on Peacock, and I kind of saw some people talking about it on social media over the weekend. Holy cow, The Americans, that is narrated by Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything about it.
It's very good. Do you want to talk a little bit about Kevin?
Well, yeah, it basically talks about, I mean, it started out, the first episode was more or less the Carolinas. The whole East Coast, it went up as far as New York and into Maine. And it's more of a nature show. But, man, and how they did it and how Tom Hanks narrates it just sucks you in.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's really cool. So there's two episodes already that have been released. I'm a person that kind of likes the streaming service. Mm-hmm. You don't have to deal with the commercials. Mm-hmm. But and then they talked about Mexico. They get into, sometimes the mating season or they talk about, how they grow into an adulthood in nature or how there's the predators and things like that. Man.
I saw a great great video of him describing about flamingos and why they dance and stuff, too. There was a good one from there.
Yeah, I haven't seen that episode yet. They only had two episodes on Peacock last night. So I'm sure they're going to release, I don't know if it's every day they release it or how they're doing it, but it was pretty good. And I guess I'm an outdoorsy guy, but how he did this, it was just, and the video, the pictures and how they got some of this stuff is just,
It's impressive.
It's just incredible what these cameramen and these drones and everything can do nowadays, along with the high def and the 15K, 15,000K that we have on not only our TVs, but these cameras that can pick this stuff up. The ability to do that is never lost. I mean, I get sucked into every one of these things. I'm a nature guy too, man. I get pulled right into this world.
Same. I would watch this.
It's funny. I have no interest in watching people and watching reality, quote unquote, reality TV, but reality animal TV. I'm all for, I'm all in. I'm 100%. I do want to say something and I've learned a lot from Tom Hanks over the years. It's funny. Melissa and I yesterday with Seth, we're talking about Joe versus the Volcano. I've been studying him since I was a little kid and bosom buddies and everything. And I saw him in an interview once talk about why he's a good actor, what he does and how his approach to acting. And I'm simplifying it a little bit. But for me, what I heard when he talked about it was the trick is you believe in what you do. You really do. You really are actually passionate about these things. You really do care about the script. You really do. It's not so much being this person that you're portraying as much as making you, finding a connection between you and this character. It's what really helped me get to where I wanted to be as an actor in many ways. It's who he is. So when he's doing narrations, he's not acting. So if he's doing something, he wants to. It's a project. He's not doing nothing for the money. He's not doing it for fame or anything like that. It's what I was talking about with Meryl Streep being on Saturday Night Live. There's a reason why she looks like she's having so much fun, because she is. She's not acting. Tom loves this stuff. Whether he's, you know, doing a documentary about World War II or something along those lines, or nature, you get the full 10 of Tom Hanks, every bit of talent that man has. And he's very good at this stuff. And it's not fair. Either be good at narrating or be good at acting, Tom. Pick one. It's not fair. There's other working actors out there, man. It's just not right. No, it's a great show. You can find it on Peacock, and appreciate the suggestion, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really cool, and like I said, it was. I saw people talking about it over Facebook over the weekend, and I'm like, okay, I gotta check it out. And when I got to episode two, and they kind of started showing what they're going to talk about, you know, on the future episodes, I'm like, oh, just keep going. You know, I was hooked.
Taken in by the teaser.
It's got great ratings, too. It's got some really good ratings to it,
and
too.
That actually sounds like something I would want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it That's would current. Be. Less. I think you would really enjoy it. But it's just with Tom's tone and how it's like he's almost in the room with you.
Yeah.
Telling you, you know, talking about it. And it was really good. So
mm-hmm.
Cool.
Good stuff, man. Safe travels out there. Thanks so much for the call.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too,
Kevin.
Best listeners in radio. We love suggestions, by the way. We love suggestions. Feel free to reach out to us anytime, everybody. So mentioning again the legendary Roberta Flack, who passed away yesterday after a battle with ALS. She was 88 years old. As amazing as she is, I do hope that I would like to hear a little more talk about ALS as well. Along with the you know, honoring her and everything, but I digress. That's a whole other thing. Roberta was best known for her two big hits, The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face, and of course what we started our hour here with, Killing Me Softly, with his song. She actually became the first artist to win the Grammy for Record of the Year in consecutive years for these songs in 73 and 74. She's the first one to ever do that.
Wow.
She had another big hit with Feel Like Making Love back in 74. And The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face was famously used on the soundtrack for Clint Eastwood's Play Misty for Me, which also was an early, I don't want to say it was one of the first big hits of a soundtrack.
Okay.
And of course, for our generation, Killing Me Softly gained a whole new life, and Roberta gained a whole new life with the Fugees and them doing not a cover of this, but a sample of it, if you'll say, or reimagining, however you want to word it.
Mm-hmm.
But just an iconic career. And I want to quote something here from an actual musician, because I talk about art, I talk about acting or all these things. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know this stuff as complex as Melissa or some other people that really do understand what you need to do to be a good singer, or what is a good singer and what's not. But not a singer, but my favorite guitar player, Vernon Reed, tweeted about her passing. And Roberta Flack is the greatest, because she brought the weight and power of quiet to the table. The value of silence. The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face wasn't her song, but she made it ours. I thought that was so well worded. And hearing him say that, it made me think about it. And listening to her songs, all of her songs, there's an ease, there's a pace to them. And there is silence in between her words. There is silence in the songs. And you don't get that a lot. And I never thought about it before.
Yeah, I mean, it's about giving emotion to the melody. And you can do that with silence. They say that in acting too, James. You know, I'm sure you've heard that, where you can act silently, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, those are as important as the words you're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true in music.
Yeah. I understand that there is no world anymore where politics or this or that doesn't bleed into something else, and I understand that. So I don't blame you if you guys don't believe me necessarily, but I've never been a fan of Elon Musk. I feel like I was one of the early people calling this man out back in his early days when he was first getting a public eye. And when he hosts the Saturday Night Live, I boycotted it. I just he's a terrible person. He's just a terrible person. I'm not talking about him as a businessman or him as in politics or anything like that. Him as a human being, if you don't have to do a lot of digging and see the people that he has stepped on and how many people he has stolen ideas from. He is, I wouldn't call him Edison, because Edison at least had some creativity. Edison at least did some things of his own. But Edison famously also stole a lot of patents from other people. And Elon Musk is a modern version of that in many ways. Whatever you're talking about, his most famous thing saying, what do you, want to say, the Tesla, the vehicle? Look at the people, look at the copyrights on that. Look at the people that actually created that vehicle, that actually created hybrid vehicles, and him just putting his name on it, basically. Mm-hmm. And that being said, we're not alone on that one. Sheryl Crow is also on this. Sheryl Crow has made it her feelings about Elon Musk crystal clear. She sold her Tesla and she's donating the money to NPR.
Oh, wow.
Every penny of it. Every penny of it she put to NPR. She posted a video on Instagram where she's waving goodbye to her Tesla as it's hauled off. In her caption, she said, quote, "My parents always said you are who you hang out with. There comes a time when you have to decide what you are willing to align with. So long, Tesla."
Yeah.
Money donated to NPR, which is under threat by President Musk, in hopes that the truth will continue to find its way to those willing to know the truth.
Hmm.
And that's just a, I can't say any better.
It's well worded.
Yeah, it's well worded.
It's well worded. Those willing to know the truth.
I don't think that people deserve something just because they gave money to somebody or they're friends with somebody. Under any circumstance or under any line of business, a lot of people get work because they have a connection. That's that's life. That's business. Right. That's all that.
It's networking 101.
That we're talking about somebody getting like a starter job or, you know, getting a foot in the door or something. Mm-hmm. Not all the way to the top of the land where you're basically saying it and it happens. There's no accountability. There's nobody. And there's no like logical reason for you to be in this position. You have not done anything in your life. You have not done anything in your business life to prove, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. It's just who he knows. It's just because he's popular or on some level. He's not
it's
as pop
just because he has so much money.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. It just comes down to money. And if that's what it's going to be, you know, at the very least, own it. At the very least, be honest about it. I'm not saying that it would change anything, but I mean, if we're going to be living in a society now where nobody has any shame anymore and there's no filters and all this stuff, well, at least rip the Band-Aid off. And I mean, we got representatives, we got politicians in this state that are nothing but talking pieces. Like, I don't need to ask them or look into what they're doing. All I got to do is look at what the president's doing and they're going to just follow suit. Like, they're just a puppet. Not just this state, all around the country.
We're not even hearing anything from those people.
Yeah, yeah. No, the only time they talk is when he talks, and they just reverberate what he's saying. They're just, you know, doing that. This guy, man, watch how this one ends. Watch how this relationship ends between Elon and our current president. Watch how that ends. Watch how that goes. If I'm wrong on this one, everybody, in a year from now, 2 years from now, you can go ahead and throw this, rewind this, and play it right in my face. But I have studied history. I have studied these certain types. And, man, I will put my name on this. I do not see that relationship ending well. That is going to be an ugly divorce. That is going to be ugly.
Yes.
Wu-Tang Clan have announced their dates for their farewell tour. It's called Wu-Tang Forever, The Final Chamber. They're going to be doing this with Run the Jewels, and this is going to be big. All the surviving members are going to be there. They're also going to be joined by other members of the group, and they're putting this on as a thank you to the audience. None of them. This is another one of those situations. These guys don't need the money. They don't need the fame. They don't need any of that. What they do want to do is thank the audience, thank the crew, the people that made them what they are, and that's what this tour is all about. It's going to be unlike anything they have ever done too, so that's it's going to be gigantic. And by that I mean I'm not talking about like stage you know, light pyrotechnics and all that, just the amount of music you're going to get. It's essentially turning into the amount of people they're bringing onto it, and how big the band is already. It's going to be like a festival.
Like a giant festival.
Let's go ahead and take a look at this one right here before we wrap up our entertainment section. A documentary called Matthew Perry, A Hollywood Tragedy, hit Peacock today. If you check it out, don't expect to see any of the Friends cast, though. Director Robert Palumba says Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, Matt LeBlanc, and David Schwimmer understandably chose not to appear. Quote, "They were reluctant to go on a documentary about Matthew at this point, maybe many years down the line. Which is why I have said over and over again, it's almost impossible to make a good documentary this close to somebody losing somebody."
Yeah.
Like, or any subject matter for that case.
because the people, you know, so close to him, they really don't want to talk about those things now.
Yeah.
And it could potentially damage their careers because they're still in the public limelight.
Well, and imagine, you know, you come out and you say something, and then 2 months or 2 years from now, and we find out in his, you know, and he had a journal and he wrote this, and it actually wasn't true or whatever. You can't win for losing in these situations. Now, if you're able to jump on there and just talk about what he meant to you or something like that, that'd be different. But that doesn't seem like that's the direction this documentary went.
I think it's the right move for them to have collectively said, not now.
Yeah. I wouldn't. There's other ways to honor him. There's other ways to do right by him if that's the case. And the fact that they, I don't know as much about some of these actors, but I Jennifer Aniston, I know pretty well and have studied her career pretty good. And if she's making this call, I'm following her lead on this. I'm going to trust her on this one. She's made some pretty darn smart decisions when it comes to things like this and her career.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust her on this one. I wouldn't have done it either. No. Let's take a call before we go to break. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hey, James. I just wanted to touch base before you get done with the entertainment hour. I think I would implore a lot of your listeners to watch the movie Idiocracy.
Yes. Yeah.
I know it's available on several streaming services, and I don't know if you can get it from your local library, but I would implore a lot of people to watch the movie Idiocracy. And when you were speaking about Musk, I totally agree, but whatever happened to Edward Snowden?
Oh gosh, yeah, that whole case.
Yeah.
He's busy, I imagine, helping the Russian propaganda machine right now. I imagine he's doing something like that. I mean, that's
everybody forgets the name Ed Snowden, and I have a feeling it's gonna come back to haunt us.
It could. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you for that. As we wrap up the entertainment section, one more reminder that Arsenic and Old Lace is premiering this Thursday, February 27th. Or, I'm sorry. This Thursday. It is this Thursday. February just blew
tomorrow.
Right by. February
it
just
did.
Blew.
It did. It is. I mean, it's a short month, James, right?
It is.
That's why you can't move your birthday to the 30th.
Curses. It'll be going this Thursday and Friday, 7 o'clock shows. They will have a 2 o'clock matinee on Saturday, and then they rewind and do it all again next week. Next Thursday and Friday, 7 o'clock shows, 2 o'clock matinee will wrap everything up. Some of our favorite people going to be on the WRCT stage giving you this great show. One of my favorite scripts of all time. Go ahead and check this one out. We had the gang on with us yesterday on Midday Magazine if you want to get a preview of the show.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to listen to that. I'm excited. This is the play for me that got me into theater because my grandma was in it, and I really loved watching her on the stage. I can't wait to see this show.
It's so cool to me. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, too. I've mentioned before that this is one of the first movies I would sit back and watch with my Nana, and we would act out scenes. It's so many people have a tie to this play and to this movie and stuff. I think that's so cool.
I've never
cool.
seen the movie. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to see it on stage again.
Get your
and I'm excited to see Seth on stage. It's fun. He's fun to watch on stage.
They got a great cast. Go ahead and check it out and get your tickets at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. While you're doing that, go ahead and maybe fill out the online audition form for Noises Off. That is coming up March 10th.
Those auditions are going to be here before we know it. Before I know it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't wait to see who comes out. This is going to be a super fun play, a very fast-paced. I'm going to work people hard. I'll be honest with the audience. I'm going to need people to step up for this show because it's a lot of work, but it's going to be so much fun.
We were talking with Gretchen a little bit about this when they were in the other week, and this is one of the most ambitious, if not the most ambitious stage we've built at that new theater.
Yes, because the stage, you know, not only is there a lot of action in the show, but the stage is active too.
Yeah. Yeah, cannot wait. I'm so excited for this show, and we encourage you to check this out. Going to be directed by the great Melissa Kay. You want to go ahead and get your audition sheet filled out, get your tickets for Arsenic and Old Lace, and bookmark your dates for auditions for Noises Off. That's March 10th and 11th over at the WRCT Auditorium. We will take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Take a look at your phone. How many photos do you think you have in there? Just off the top of your head. Just, you don't have to actually count them. That's a little crazy, but we want to give you some morning left.
I know I have thousands.
Oh, same here. Same here. And I will admit that this is part of having not only kids, but animals that, you know, just it seems to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I like having pictures to look back on.
We get to carry our photo albums around with us now.
With us, yeah. Which is so cool.
Mm-hmm. I know for me that that is probably the second, third most used app on my phone is pulling up my photos. It's mm-hmm. it's that when I need a break or I need a smile or something, I'll look at that, and it's you know, just nice having.
Mm-hmm. My problem is that I'm running out of space, and I refuse to pay for it.
Yeah, that's a tough one, yeah.
So I don't know what to do.
What I do, and I don't know if I, like, this is a, you know, a hack, or if this is something that everybody does, but I will email a bunch of photos to myself and just save it in a file, and that way I still have them, and I can take them off my phone.
Yeah, and I know you can like download them and put them on a hard drive. I haven't gotten around to it yet. But the thing is I like having them on my phone to look back on.
That's the thing, yeah.
Right. And if I have to take them off my phone, then guess what? They're not on my phone.
There's a new report out that says the typical person has 1,598 photos on their phone's camera roll.
That sounds about right.
And if you break that down by age, millennials have the most with over 2,500.
Woof.
Photos of our family are the most common pictures we have on our phones. They're followed by the pics from holiday celebrations and cool photo-worthy views. Even though we have thousands of photos in our pockets, 19% of people say that they rarely look back at them, though.
Well, 19% isn't that high.
No. One solution is to print them out. Some people do that, and surprisingly, it's more popular among younger adults. 43% of Gen Zers say that they regularly print photos from their phone compared to just 5% of boomers.
Wow. That's surprising to me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you and I grew up in the age before cell phones where your only option was to get your photos developed.
Mm-hmm.
And then look through them and see how many didn't turn out.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Whereas now we can take 10, 20 shots of the same thing and make sure that one of them is good. You know, that's mind blowing. But yeah. I wonder if that's why we don't print them out versus the younger generation is printing them out, because they don't, that wasn't regular for them.
It's new to them, and anytime mm-hmm. something's new, it's gonna feel a little more interesting and pull you in a little bit more. So I think that's a good point.
How much fun is it to look back through old photo albums?
Mm-hmm. But isn't this something too? If we take a step back, that is kind of unique and kind of cool when we think about society, when we think about life. This is something, whether we're talking about the first beginnings of photography and photos, or we're talking mm-hmm. about today, we're still doing the same thing. We still love to look at pictures. We like to look at memories.
Nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're and it's something that every generation has in common. Every mm-hmm. human being has in common. We don't have a lot of this in society. I like to take note of it whenever we can.
And I wonder, too, though, if the younger generation is also cognizant of the fact that there's a limited amount of cloud storage available. And the cloud, not to, you know, give any kudos to Seth or anything, because you know how much I don't like doing that. But the fact that he pointed out that saving these things on our phone isn't just the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it isn't just the battery on my phone that those photos are using.
Yeah.
You know, that's stored somewhere else that is using electricity, that is using, resources from our Earth, and there's a limit. Our resources are not limitless.
Yeah.
And so the fact that the younger generation is printing these photos off and then deleting them from the cloud, and they're not, you know, hopefully not out there anymore, taking up space and resources, and you're storing them in your home where, I mean, they're taking up different space and resources in a different way. But, mm-hmm. you know, they're accessible to you. So it's an interesting conundrum that we find ourselves in as human beings, and the different methods that technology leads us down to solve these issues.
We do our best to navigate these things and to be informed and to help you be informed out there, everybody. And speaking of being informed, one of my better segues I'll ever do, we wanted to mention the WFHR newsletter. Wanted to remind everybody about that one, Melissa.
It comes out every Thursday at noon. And we're, you know, this, the best part about this newsletter, James, is that we have so many people contributing to it, and it's all local Wisconsin, mostly central Wisconsin news. We're writing articles about things that are happening here, right here in our community. And it's ad-free at this point, which is just fantastic. It doesn't cost anything for you to just sign up. It's just your email. Head over to WFHR.com. And you can also give us feedback on what you would like to see, read, or hear about on our airways and in our newsletter.
Yeah, we encourage you to sign up, everybody. And a big thank you to everybody who has already signed up. Greatly appreciate all of you. You guys are amazing. And every day we're seeing more and more people joining the newsletter, wanting to be informed and wanting to get that information right to their email box, which you can count on Thursdays at noonish.
Yeah, noon.
Yeah. It'll be there for you. Be sure to check that out. Sign up for the newsletter at WFHR.com. Get on over there right now, everybody. We will take a quick break, check in with our news, our sports, and our partners. And Melissa and I will be back, and we're talking about what do you do when you're not watching TV? What are things people don't, who don't watch
dishes.
TV say that... Yes, they're right.
Dishes.
Oh, there's a reminder.
Always
yeah.
dishes.
I got dishes to do later. That's right. We'll be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Little Stevie Wonder to play us in. Melissa and James hanging out with you. And diving right into our next topics, someone on social media asked, people who don't watch TV, how do you spend your time? And here are the top responses.
Okay.
The top one on the list is one that Melissa mentioned earlier, is reading.
Always. That's always usually what I'm doing if I'm not watching. Well, when I'm not watching TV, because I don't watch that much.
This will be the top response for most people. And and I do think that I think that it's fair to say that out of 10 people saying that they read, maybe 7-8 of them do. And the other ones wish they did and would like you to think that they do. But I'm kidding.
No, that's my response about exercise. Do you exercise regularly? I regularly think about it.
Exactly. gaming comes in next. Among younger people, it's mostly online games. And among older adults, it's a lot of board games, card games, mobile games, a lot of that.
And see, I don't think of like gaming on a screen as different than watching TV. I mean, it is, but you're still on a screen.
I agree, but I agree more with the next one, scrolling through social media and apps. And I don't have a reason why. It feels like the same thing to me.
It has to do with it being a screen to me.
Yeah.
Like they all kind of fall in the same, because while I don't watch a lot of TV, I do scroll on social media and apps.
And there's and everybody deserves a release. Everybody deserves to have a time in their day where they're just mind numbing, and just right. be relaxing,
watching cute animals interacting,
yes.
and doing silly things.
And there is good stuff out there.
Something to laugh at.
And there's educational and interesting and informative stuff that can make your brain work out there. Like we were talking about with Kevin and the Americans and stuff. But I think a lot of people look at TV, look at social media as a release,
kind of mindless.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I have nothing against that. But for me with video games, I feel like you can't really do that with video. You have to interact. You have to do something. It keeps your mind going.
It depends on the game, too.
It does. Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
There are different levels of games that you can interact with. And there's ones that are educational or, that help you keep your brain active.
Yeah. I'm thinking of NCAA football where I'm worrying about recruiting classes and things like that. I'm trying to recruit this kid from Florida to come up and play at NIU. And then, so, yeah, I hear
but
what you're saying.
But there's also, the simple games what am I thinking of? Casino type games where you're just pushing a button and it's ding, ding, ding. Oh, I didn't get it.
Push it again.
Ding, ding, ding.
A lot of the mobile games are like that, yeah.
Right, where they're pretty mindless.
Next on the list, home improvement projects and working on their property.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love doing this stuff, actually. Mm-hmm. I find it one of the best. That and I would say that and cleaning are two of my responses to this, as far as like when I
what you're doing when you're not watching TV.
Because I work a lot. And when mm-hmm. if I'm not working, I'm trying to get some things done around, and everything. Mm-hmm. And I just like working with my hands. I like doing stuff like that. There's something good that, to me, I can't.
It's rewarding.
And here's another part to it. I don't know. Please reach out if you're like this, too. I would love to know that there's some other people out there. I can't sit back and scroll through social media or enjoy some mindless TV or check out, a raccoon and a dog that are friends. Any of the things that I like doing for a release if I know there are dirty dishes. Or if I know that they're right above the TV, there's just an inch of dust right there. Mm-hmm. And I can't, I got to clean it. I got to do it. I got to, then mm-hmm. I can relax. Then I can ease up. And
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm alone on that one, but there's something about it to me that if I'm truly going to relax and ease, it's got to be a cleaner house. It's got to be a clean room, something along those lines. My brain just does not deal well with chaos like that or muck like that. Or
yeah. Anything. Well, and I think that the interesting thing about this list is it's talking about people who don't watch TV.
Yeah.
So it's not like, what are they doing when they're not? It's just that they don't. So instead, they're doing things like, gaming, reading, home improvement projects. It's an interesting way to look at that. But both are valid.
Have a teacher who she just had a little girl, and congratulations to her and her husband. And they decided to get rid of their TV in their house, and they don't mm-hmm. want her growing up with one. And they're going crazy. They're going insane. But they're sticking to it. At least right now, I want to say at least a year or two into this. Their little one's probably almost 2 by now. And they've been, as far as I know, I just talked to her this weekend and stuff, and about a class, and she was saying just came up, and mm-hmm. That's what it was. we were talking, like we were complaining that there's nothing on TV to watch, and she was saying how she missed that. So there is a pushback at anything in life, especially mm-hmm. the more popular things get. The more it rises, the more you're going to get a buildup of people pushing against it. And there's a lot of people that got tired of streaming real quick and did not want to go back to cable and just decided, there are other things out there. And, more power to you.
Right.
Things to relax and de-stress, like knitting, crocheting, jigsaw puzzles, that sort of thing.
And see, I like doing those things while I'm watching television.
Yeah, yeah. My mom's like that.
I have a hard time sitting still and with just the TV on, unless I am so stressed to the point of my brain shuts down. Then I can't manage to multitask like that. But usually I need that. I can't just sit and watch TV and do nothing. I need to have my hands moving.
I would say in about a half an hour, 45 minutes or somewhere around there, my mom will be putting together a puzzle while watching her ghost shows or something like that on the TV. My sister's like that. Yeah. Walking and exercising and working out at the gym are also on here. Playing sports with friends or organized mm-hmm. groups. Mm-hmm. These are all great things and all things that people are doing instead of watching TV. And spending time with significant others and kids. Someone else said, being present with my cat.
Yes, because cats care.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they care you're feeding them and keeping their house clean, because they rule the roost.
They care if you care. If you're doing something important on your laptop, that's when they care. That's when they decide to step on your laptop and be like, "Hey, look at me! You're busy.
How dare you not pay attention to me, measly human?"
Podcasting, listening to the radio, and music. Mm. Mm-hmm. And playing an instrument also made the list.
Yeah.
Those are all great ones.
Hard to do all of these things if the only thing you do is watch TV.
Yeah. Because
there's not enough time in the day. It's just not.
I was talking about this on Playmakers yesterday, and the amount of sports out there and how we only have so much bandwidth to take mm-hmm. so much in. It's the same thing with this. And we don't want to take anything away. And look, I'm just trying to help people here. Radio. listening to radio is going to, that's the best thing you could be doing. That's going to take, you don't need TV and all this other stuff.
Listeners know that.
Yeah, just listen to radio 24/7, please. Please. In fact, even if you're just sleeping, go ahead and just leave your radio on. Just
tune into our channel and listen to our podcasts.
Speaking of sleeping is next on the list. And I thought it was kind of funny to see that, but the more I think about it, I'm like, I should be doing that. That's mm-hmm. something, that's actually a really good one.
Yeah, turn the TV off, James. Sleep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't argue with that one. Yeah. Someone said, I just watched The Wall. I think they're just trying to be funny. Or maybe they got some nice paintings.
I have some nice art on my walls I like looking at.
There's stuff where people are just mentioning random videos that they're watching on YouTube and that. But there's one, virtual travel through the power of Google Maps, Google Earth, and YouTube. I use YouTube mostly. And the drone footage they have of our national parks and some of that, I don't know if it sounds lame or not. I watch that stuff a lot. I love that stuff.
And if you have, so we got my dad a VR headset a couple years back, and that's what he likes to do. He likes to use, I don't know what it is, Google Maps or Google Earth, but you can like travel places and be there virtually, which is really, really cool.
Yeah. It is pretty darn neat. I don't know. I want to go to all of our national parks. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but through this, you feel you like you get at least them. A feeling of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for those of us that can't afford to travel, that might be mm-hmm. the only way we see these places.
And what do you do, everybody? What do you do if you're not a TV watcher or when you're not watching TV? How do you spend your time? We'd love to hear from you all week long on this one.
Laundry and dishes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the main.
How did those not make the list?
Right.
Chores.
Yeah. Are we just not giving ourselves enough credit because we're not even thinking about it? Because it popped right up in my head.
I think it's what do you do for entertainment?
Yeah.
Instead of television. I mean, those things are chores, not entertainment, but it's a time thing.
Yeah, yeah. We'd love to entertain you, and so would our friends over at the Grace Players. If you would like to take this show and call up and let Melissa and I know one of your favorite plays.
Ooh, we'll give you free tickets.
Yeah, we got four tickets to see the Grace Players. Their first show is this Friday, 6:30. You can go ahead and check that out. We'll tell you more about it as the week goes on. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away in the Civic Media app. Melissa and I will be back with a That Ain't Right story, some good stories of the day, our schedule, and plenty more on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Going to get into our schedule and some good stories of the day in a moment. But first, that ain't right story. We don't get many of these, and this is a doozy. Earlier this month, thieves stole a backpack from a man in France, and his wallet was inside. Then they went to a corner store, used his credit card to buy cigarettes and lottery scratch-off tickets, and that's when things got real interesting. The thieves won a huge jackpot on one of the scratchers, which was worth over $500,000. The cashier says they boasted about the win and were so excited they left without their smokes. No one has come forward with the winning ticket yet, which makes sense because it was bought with a stolen card, and the thieves who would essentially be turning themselves in if they tried to claim the prize. So the owner of the backpack wants to press and is offering them a deal. He's offering to split the winnings with them if they give him back all of his stuff. He says he declined to press charges and they'd get the other half of the jackpot. The guy is a simple explanation. Without me, they would not have won. But without them, I would not have bought this ticket. I want to offer them a share of the winnings. But they're on the clock. People only have 30 days from the date of purchase to claim their winnings.
Right.
He's working with an attorney who tells the thieves they, quote, risk nothing by coming forward. But technically, it's unclear if they'd be able to take their share or just ride off into the sunset. There is a lot of gray area with this one that that has to come forward. But what a fascinating what if.
Right. That's hilarious. But also, I mean, the guy wants his stuff back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a big ask. And if he's not gonna press charges, I mean, they'd be dumb not to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, and I mean, not for nothing or anything. It's not like they're going to, they do come forward, and if there is charges pressed, they're going away for life. Like, you're going to go, maybe you do some time, maybe you don't. Either way, you got this nest egg sitting there, man. Maybe the other side of the tracks coming out in me or something, but I'm with you, Melissa. The cost benefit to this one is right there. I would have come forward already.
And if they're already in communication, they know who the thieves are. It's not like they're not known, right?
Here's the part, that the quiet part that I didn't say out loud. They're already caught. You might as well come forward and at least try to salvage something from this other than, you know, shame.
I mean, they did a knucklehead move.
Yeah, yeah.
But they could do something good with it if they wanted to.
Yeah, especially saying,
but
hey, you know.
Why would you buy lottery tickets with a stolen credit card?
We will drive ourselves crazy trying to have any rationalness into this idiocracy. But it is a great question. Why? Just why? What are you doing? What the what, man? Oh. Like, that ain't right. That ain't right. I do think it's a fascinating question to ask yourself. Like any all of us sitting at home right now and being like, oh, what would I do in that situation?
What would you do? Well, first of all, I wouldn't have stolen something.
Right, right. There we go.
And then, yeah. So it kind of ends there.
Kind of ends the whole thing there. We got a great lineup for you today. We encourage you to stick around. Our friends Matt and Air on Air coming up in just moments from now. Mm-hmm. They'll take you into the noon hour. And, of course, a little bit later this afternoon, we got a great Midday Magazine lined up for you. In part one, we're going to talk with our friends at the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. We got Promise joining us. We'll also be joined by Kelly from the Aspirus Hospital and Clinics. She is part of the ACE Leadership Program. We'll be talking with her as well.
Okay. Great.
As I mentioned earlier, in part two, we'll be speaking with the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Ashley is going to be joining us. We're going to talk about violence prevention, teen violence prevention month. Talk about that. We'll talk about Chefs for Change and plenty of other great things going on with our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center.
Wonderful.
Great basketball on the radio dial tonight. Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Washington. Big Ten matchup, 7 o'clock tip-off. Wisconsin looking to get back in the win column here and looking to get things right before Big Ten tournament play. Catch it tonight right here at 7 o'clock. And, of course, we got other great things in our area going on I wanted to touch on. Where is that here? I wanted to mention this. Our good friends over at the United Way have their Women United Power of the Purse event coming up March 11th.
Yeah, that's going to be here before we know it.
5 to 7:30 at Bullseye Golf Club. It's going to be a great event, a great silent auction, networking, cash bar, a pasta buffet that Terry talks very highly of.
I've heard it's fantastic.
It's a great time. They enjoy this event so much. Big shout out to Bullseye for hosting this and all these amazing sponsors that are a part of this one. And of course, all of this community, because every penny you spend with United Way, you know that is going to go right back into this community and appreciate the great work that so many people are doing on that front.
And like Terry says, even if you're not into purses, like the raffle baskets, just the being able and the community being out and about, it's a really fun time.
Yeah, it's not often that you can do this, whether we're talking about the Chefs for Change event with our family center or we're talking about Women's United and this great event coming up, Power of the Purse. You are going to have a good time. You're going to enjoy yourself. May even get some cool items out of it and everything. Yeah. And you're investing in our future. You are investing in early grade literacy, it's a huge part of Women's United and United Way, and there's not many better investments you're going to make in your life.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Investing in our future.
Yeah. And make sure to find out more about that and other great things going on with our United Way at uwswac.org, uwswac.org. And be sure to follow them on Facebook. They got their Facebook page back. Share their stuff on your pages as well. Promote what they're doing over there. A missing cat named Sunny Lou. That's a great name.
It's
spelled Sunny-L-O-O. Sunny
Lou. I love it. Sunny Lou.
Sunny Lou showed back up after she spent 3 weeks stuck in a sofa. Man, that's rough.
What?
Her family recently moved from Washington State to Colorado, and they couldn't find her the day the movers showed up. It turned out she crawled into a hole in the couch and rode across country in the back of a moving truck. They had no idea until their furniture arrived at their new place last month.
Poor baby.
She was hungry and dehydrated, but she has made a full recovery. The couple and their kids were pretty emotional when they found out. They'd accepted the idea that they had lost her.
Yeah, 3 weeks is a long time.
That is something, and I
can't believe she survived.
I was gonna say, that is pretty darn amazing that she survived that. That's great. And here's a unique how'd you meet story. A guy in China hit a woman with his car, and now they're married.
Oh my. Okay.
This is. I want to see Hallmark do this rom-com. I want to see. She was on her e-bike when he slammed into her, and back in December of 2023, he broke her collarbone, but visited her every day in the hospital because he felt so bad. And during those visits, they found out they had a lot in common and fell in love.
Aww.
They got married this month and also have a baby on the way.
That's sweet.
That's a beautiful story, and everybody knows what a foolish romantic I am and everything. I don't mean to nitpick here, but Cupid is really running out of ideas. Cupid is really getting low on the, like, I got nothing here, man. I mean, they got all these apps nowadays.
It was the only way they were going to meet.
I mean,
okay, what do I do? He's so empathetic. All right, let's do it. Broken collarbone. Here we go.
What haven't I done? What haven't I done? Have I done? You know, I just love the idea of Cupid. It has like an assistant, like just going to, like, have I done this? The car hitting thing? Have I done? No? All right, let's try that. Let's try that one.
I mean, well, there was that, but you've never done it with a broken bone.
Oh, let's try it. Let's try it. See what happens. And all the customers at a Cracker Barrel in Flagstaff, Arizona, sang happy birthday to an 89-year-old Army vet. And the man has Alzheimer's, and it made him cry. And Cracker Barrel commented on TikTok saying, so much love in one room. It's a beautiful video. If you want to smile today, you're looking for a palate cleanser, I encourage you to check that one out, everybody.
And you want to enjoy Cracker Barrel before they're gone, they're closing.
Exactly, again, catch the WFHR newsletter. Everybody get to WFHR.com, sign up for that newsletter. Got a new one putting in the works right now. Appreciate all the
Comes
work being
on
done
Thursday.
On that. Yeah. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.